From member-supported KTOO, welcome to Juno Afternoon. It's Friday, October 13th, 2023. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Gonna chish hawa salamat for joining the conversation. On today's show, Cambrio Chamber Music welcomes pianist Phoebe Wu for a concert this Sunday as she tours Southeast Alaska. We'll chat with Southeast Alaska Independent Living about their upcoming gala fundraiser called Unmasking Disability. We'll have a preview of the latest podcast episode of Maga Cuento, the new podcast series from KTOO News. And it's Member Drive Week here at KTOO. We'll chat with thank you gift artwork designer, local artist Glo Ramirez, all about her little monsters. Those conversations, music, and more coming up this hour on Juno Afternoon.
We're always amazed at the quantity and caliber of arts and culture offerings in Juno. KTOO helps you navigate your options. Juno Afternoon keeps you up on everything going on, and our arts and culture team introduces you to great local talent and feature stories and live concerts. KTOO helps you make the most of Juno's cultural life, even on the nights you stay home. Your financial support makes it possible. Contribute at ktoo.org.
Support from Hanson Gress. Seeking curious people who like technology, network engineering, and customer support. Opportunities for those who thrive on problem solving. Details at hansongress.com/careers.
Yes, you are listening to Juno Afternoon, community supported on KTOO 104.3 Juno, 91.7 Juno Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. We were just listening to Phoebe Wu on the piano playing Presto Scherzando by Mana Zucca, and Cambrio Chamber Series is presenting Phoebe this Sunday in conjunction with Phoebe's Southeast Alaska tour. Phoebe is based in Chicago and brings new work to life through collaborations with composers, musicians, performance artists, and more. Phoebe joins us via Zoom from Sitka, and here in Studio 2K is Sally Schlichting, Artistic Director of Cambrio Chamber Series. Gunath Chish for you both being here today. Phoebe, can you hear us okay?
I can, yes.
Awesome. And Sally, I know you can hear me because you're right there.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Of course. Good to see you both being here. Okay, so Sally, Cambrio presents a variety of performances, all different kinds of chamber music and different things. How did this concert with Phoebe come about?
Well, I just got an email out of the blue from Phoebe, and she mentioned that she knew me from a mutual friend, and told me that she was going to be touring through Southeast Communities, giving this program of American composers. And I just love the idea. And I'm just so impressed that she took on this project of doing a tour through Southeast Alaska. And I, you know, I gladly wanted to help her do a performance in Juneau and be a part of that.
Absolutely. Okay, that's cool. So Phoebe, we were just listening to, hopefully I pronounced it correctly, Presto Scherzando by Mana Zucca. Is that correct?
Yes, that's all good.
Oh, great. And can you tell us a little bit about that piece? It's like this cool, frenetic kind of, you know, it's got a really great rhythm to it and it's all over the place. Can you tell us a little bit about that piece?
Sure. It's a small movement within a larger piece by her. I believe it's the third movement out of four. And it's just a little fireball. It's just meant to do exactly what it does. It's high energy. It goes by fast. And Mana Zucca was a American composer in the 20th century. She did a lot of different things. She sang, she wrote musicals, she wrote operas, and she wrote piano music.
That's cool. I mean, I thought it was just a great way to open because it just had sort of that high energy and you can kind of get a sense of that. We have another piece we're going to play that's a little bit quieter, which we'll also get to hear a little bit of later. So is this your first time in Alaska, Phoebe?
This is my second time, but I've only been to Sitka before.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. And you're doing so how did this tour of Southeast Alaska come about? Tell us where you're going. We know you're in Sitka now and you're performing there tomorrow night. And then you're here on Sunday in Juneau. Where else are you going?
Yes. So Sitka is first. Juneau, I'm coming to you next. And then after that will be Skagway on Thursday and Haines on Saturday.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So anybody listening in those communities can look forward to that as well. Now, this tour is called No Longer Very Clear. And I think the subtitle of it was Abundance in Modern American Classical Music. So let's get a little bit behind the scenes on your titling there. What's that all about?
Sure. So No Longer Very Clear directly comes from the piece actually that we're going to hear at the end. The piece is called Holding a Daisy, but it's from a larger suite called No Longer Very Clear. But I loved this phrase for the whole concert just because I really wanted to celebrate the diversity and variety in the music of this genre, even just in America. The composers come from totally different backgrounds and lead and led very different lives, but because of that, they create incredibly vibrant and distinctive music. So it's not clear what, you know, different influences came to them to write the music.
Okay, cool. So who else is on the program?
Yeah, we have Lou Harrison, who's a Californian composer. There's Florence Price, who is most known for living in Chicago. And she, the piece that is on the concert is from the 30s. And she's probably the most prominent female African-American composer in classical music. Yeah. There's also Annika Sokolovsky, who is currently a professor of composition at University of Colorado in Boulder. And there's also Gabriella Lena Frank, who also lives in California currently. And she has a very mixed heritage, and she pulls a lot from the different cultures within her family to write her music.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, I know this tour was made possible with some support from Robert Turnbull Piano Foundation. And so how did you choose this particular, how did you decide to do this sort of Southeast tour? I guess maybe you had visited Sitka before and you're like, I got to go back and I want to see some other parts of Southeast and also expose folks to this music.
That is exactly on point. I got this opportunity from the Robert Turnbull Piano Foundation. They were very generous and said, you know, whatever you need to do with the money, do it. And I said, okay, well, I'm going to go to communities that sometimes get live music, sometimes don't, and bring them some music that I'm very excited about. And it also gives me the opportunity to, you know, see these places and meet new people.
Well, that's awesome, man. We can't wait to welcome you to Juneau. I think that's going to be wonderful. Now, I know you were a graduate of University of Michigan School of Music, Theater, and Dance, and you have a commitment to new work. And that is awesome. And I love hearing about this from classical artists and who play classical music, to have this commitment to new work. And so how did that come about for you? How did you discover that that's sort of what you wanted to lean into?
Yeah. I would say my piano teacher when I was 11 actually exposed me to a lot of more contemporary classical music. And I really took a liking to it. And then actually at University of Michigan, I had a lot of opportunities to play solo and chamber, small groups, for different composers who were studying there too. So there were all kinds of new opportunities there, and I really kind of got hooked.
So when you are working with someone, it must be different than working with a composer who is no longer around, right? To be able to work with somebody who is alive. What is that collaboration like? Are you able to, because I think it in your bio, it mentioned that you work with performance artists or you work with different kinds of things. So it's not just necessarily composers, but it's other artisans. And so you're sort of collaborating in those different ways. And so what is that like, as opposed to having like the comparison to playing classical stuff versus being able to be in the room with somebody creating it anew?
It's very dynamic. It's very exciting. Sometimes you get to see the draft of something first, or one or two or three drafts. A lot of times for piano too, there's very specific things that fit better in the hand. It's physically easier or more comfortable to do something one way than the other. If they're just looking for an effect, then you can give input as to, you know, how they make a certain texture happen. I guess I'm thinking of composers mostly. With others, it's great. With dancers, there's a lot of push and pull in terms of like the motion of the music and gestural ideas. With performance artists, there tends to be a lot more discussing like the concept behind the project. But it's great. It's very fun. I also love interpreting music just from the sheet, just from the paper.
Right. Okay, cool. And I know you have, I think you have a background in, is it saxophone and also tap dance? Is that right?
Yes.
So those things must come into play just in terms of sort of rhythm and other sounds, in terms of, you know, how it might affect your viewpoint of different music and all of that.
Totally. I think that, you know, I kind of naturally growing up became more and more focused on piano and all things about piano, but I did lots of different things. Including other instruments, including dance, including, you know, a little bit of sewing, things like that. And I really have tried to let all of my experiences inform how I collaborate with people and how I approach my music.
Yeah, that's great. Well, I know Sitka is going to be in for it tomorrow night. They're going to enjoy that. And then we're going to get that pleasure here in Juneau on Sunday. Now, Sally, tell us a little bit about the details, where it is, what time it's at, and also, how is this possibly pay as you can? Like, that's amazing. I mean, I'm sure it's helpful that the Turnbull Piano Foundation has probably paid some of the fees and travel and all that, but you're offering this for a pay as you can.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay. So first of all, the performance is Sunday evening, 7 PM at the Juneau Arts and Culture Center. And, it is, at 7 o'clock, and it is pay as you can, because that's kind of my mission with delivering chamber music to Juneau audiences, is making it accessible to everyone. And I find that more people come that way. And I feel that's really important. And, the people who can pay are generous, and we end up covering our expenses on our programs. So it's working out. So.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, and people can put in a little extra if they have it, and it helps pay for those who maybe can't pay that little extra.
That's right. That's
right. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I love the accessibility aspect of it, being able to come and see this music and this concert on Sunday and everything that you've been doing. I know you just had the one at the atrium over at the museum.
Yeah.
with Franz and all of that stuff. So it's just really great. And so what's up next for the Combrio Chamber Series?
So next for Combrio is a program in March, I think it's Saturday, March 9th. And that's with the Icefield Quartet, of which I am now a member, along with William Todd Hunn on clarinet, Elena Levy on violin, and Ben Holtz on cello. And we are performing some new music, contemporary music there, as well as we're doing an arrangement of Philip Glass, and it'll be at the Crystal Saloon. So it'll be a kind of a different show. And we're really looking forward to it.
So. That's great. Yeah. Well, Phoebe, we're going to welcome you to Juno. Hopefully it won't be too wet and rainy.
And it's dry right now.
It's dry right now, but who knows? It's wacky weather around here. We're going to go out with this piece called Holding a Daisy by Joan Tower. And it's part of the longer title that you said for the whole evening, right? Which is no longer very clear. That's really cool. And we'll hear some of that as we go out. And I just want to say Gwyneth Cheese for being here and travel safely. And we'll see you on Sunday. And thank you, Sally, for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Absolutely. Up next, Unmasking Disability is the gala fundraiser from Southeast Alaska Independent Living. We'll chat about that here next from member-supported Juno Afternoon on KTOO. Here's Holding a Daisy by Joan Tower, played by Phoebe Wu. KTOO would like to acknowledge that we broadcast from the homelands of the Akwan. The Glenny D have stewarded this area for thousands of years. Today, our studios sit on a spot, once part of the tidelands, now covered over with buildings, roads, and parking lots. We recognize those families who traveled to and from these tidelands to fishing and hunting grounds and to gatherings in other villages, and still cherish it as an important part of their way of life for today and for future generations.
The Juneau World Affairs Council invites you to its annual forum October 13 and 14 on the UAS campus, entitled Immigration, Detention, and Power, Addressing Bias and Prejudice. Multiple experts will examine problems, conflicts, and solutions to this thorny issue, including paths to healing and reconciliation. The forum is open to all. For speaker information and schedule, go to www.jwac.org. This message is sponsored by the Juneau World Affairs Council, bringing the world to Juneau.
This is Juneau Afternoon from your listener-supported public media station, KTOO, broadcasting live from the homelands of the Akwan. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. After a few absent years due to the COVID pandemic, Southeast Alaska Independent Living, otherwise known as SAIL, is once again having their largest fundraiser of the year, Unmasking Disability, taking place on Saturday, October 21st at 6 p.m. at Centennial Hall. Here to share about SAIL and this fundraiser are SAIL Development Director Sarah Chapel and longtime SAIL supporter and master of ceremonies for the event, Sharon Gateman. Gunath Cheesh for you both being here today. Sharon, can you hear us on the Zoom okay?
I hear you perfectly. As soon as I hear Sarah, I'll know I can hear you both.
I'm here, Sharon. Thanks for having us, Boston.
Of course. And I'm going to start with Sarah because I want to know a little bit more about SAIL, Southeast Alaska Independent Living. Tell us a little bit about the organization, its mission, and its goals.
Yes. Yeah, so SAIL is an aging and disability resource center. We've been around Southeast for going on 31 years.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we work with seniors and folks with any kind of disability, whether it was something they're born with or in a disability that has been acquired along the way. And we help them find the resources they need to stay independent, happy, healthy, and to really take control of their own lives and their own destiny. That looks a different way for every person. So it might mean we're sitting down and giving them, helping them find resources on maybe applying for benefits or finding a small grant to pay for a piece of equipment in their home to make it safer for them to stay at home. It may be that they need to borrow a piece of equipment from our loan closet. And that's something that's free to every community member. They might need a walker, a knee scooter, some crutches for a short period of time. Or perhaps as somebody's aging, they want to test out some new equipment in their home. And so we'll help them get set up so that they can feel more comfortable and safe in their home and stay in the community that they love.
Well, that's great. And SAIL helped me out. I had unfortunately broken my hip last winter, mm-hmm. and I was able to be provided with a walker and a commode and a shower seat and all of that stuff. And it was very, very helpful. And so I really appreciate that. Gunath Cheesh for that and for what you do for the community.
Wow. That makes me so happy that we were able to help you and that you knew that we were there. That is exactly what SAIL does. And
yeah.
And why we're here. So
and now you're part of that new big building out there in the valley, right?
Exactly.
It's on Teal Street, yeah?
Yep. SAIL is at Teal Street Center. That is our new permanent home. We're next door to the Glory Hall right out there in the valley. I heard about your partnership today, donations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Helping out the Glory Hall. We are, you know, very appreciative of our partner and neighbor next door. And that social service center has lots of different organizations in there, like Alaska Legal Services, NAMI Juneau, Disability Law, SAIL, of course, all organizations that help people, you know, find what they need. And
it's great. It's almost a one-stop shop for social organizations. It's pretty great.
As we get up and running, that is the very idea, one-stop shop. And SAIL's really excited to be a part of it.
Well, we need to raise money in order to do that. And so now, after a little bit of time away, I know there was like a silent auction in 2019, but we had that silly thing called the COVID-19 pandemic. But now we are back and we have a gala and we have many different versions of the auction. We have a silent auction, a dessert auction, all this great stuff. So tell us a little bit about this fundraiser, and is it great to be having it again?
All sorts of things. Yes, it's going to be a lot of fun. We call it Unmasking Disability because whether your disability is seen or unseen, it is a part of us, and it's something that we think should be celebrated. And so folks are welcome to wear a mask. They can borrow one from SAIL. We'll even have some friends from Juno Party Animals who will be there doing face painting, a photo booth. It's really a chance to have fun and to, raise some much needed funds for a community organization.
Yeah, it's great to have it back. And so there's also going to be some live music, I heard.
That's right. Luke Weld and Heather Mountcastle are going to be joining us. Luke is on the keys and Heather is a vocalist.
Awesome. Okay. Now, Sharon, as the MC.
Oh, my gosh. I just want to say, if you're not a supporter of SAIL, call now.
That's great. As the master of ceremonies, knowing you and your personality and your energy, what kind of night are we looking forward to?
You know what? Boston, when you said we're coming back after the COVID hiatus, I just started getting excited sitting here. There's going to be so much energy in the room to begin with. People are very happy to be at this event. Well, they were in the past when I was there, and I assume we're going to have it there. And so not only will we have a silent auction and a live auction, but the evening also celebrates a lot of what SAIL does. And I know Sarah can speak to that and our champion. I mean, I just want people to bid high and bid often and just be there for our community at large and also for those who need SAIL today. And what I was going to say to you, you said, or Sarah said in the beginning, talking about, and those of us who age, who are able to age here, let's hope we all are, because SAIL is the organization that helps seniors too. And I don't think we spend as much time on that as maybe we should. I know I don't, but now that I am a senior, I guess, SAIL is very important to me and my cohort. So and Sarah can give you more specifics, but I just think it's that one organization. If you don't need it today, you're going to need SAIL tomorrow.
Yeah, I knew about it when I needed it. And, I remembered it from different things I'd heard. And, I'm not up in I didn't think I was going to need a walker anytime soon. And then when you have an accident, though, so it's just good to know about the services there. I'm talking to Sarah and Sharon. We're talking about the SAIL Gala fundraiser and auction. It's happening on Saturday, October 21st at 6 p.m. at Centennial Hall. And I know that you're going to be honoring a special person that night. Let's talk about that, Sarah.
Yes, that's right. So we are going to be honoring disability advocate Kim Champney as our advocate of the year. We've worked with Kim for many, many years. Kim was a VISTA volunteer when she first started out in Alaska. She's worked for REACH. She's currently the executive director of the Alaska Association on Developmental Disabilities. And she's really one of those champions who, is out there just quietly working in support of folks with lived experience in the disability community. So we're excited to have Kim with us and to honor her.
That's great. And tell us a little bit about some of the, I guess tease us with some of the, I know there's probably some Alaska Airlines tickets in there, you know, because Alaska Airlines is so wonderful for everybody and they support
so
everyone.
There are things that I'm excited about that I went home and said to my spouse, you know, we're going to need to make a budget so that we don't go crazy here. We do have two Alaska Airlines tickets anywhere they fly, a Princess cruise for two.
And a cruise.
That's
nice.
Right. And actually, that cruise comes with 50,000 miles to get you to your port of call. And a cruise with Alaska Dream Cruises. That is right here in Southeast Alaska. And it is fabulous. It's a small ship. Cruising all through the Inside Passage to Glacier Bay and Tracy Arm. It's small, so you get into a kayak and skiff and, you know, get up close to glaciers. And that is an opportunity that a lot of us just don't have in our own backyard. So I'm excited about that one.
Yeah.
Sharon is pulling together a year of entertainment with all sorts of concerts and shows throughout the year.
Yeah, I saw that. A year's worth of Juno entertainment. Sharon, tell us a little bit about that. What are you going to be putting together?
Here's just a few of those items. Of course, Boston Perseverance Theater has given us tickets. We have tickets from Juno Ghostlight Theater for Bat Boy, I think it's called. I'm excited. It's a new show. Never heard of it before, but I'll be there. Cabaret is coming, and Theater in the Rough is giving us two tickets to that. Juno Dance Theater not only gave us tickets to the Nutcracker, and this is all for two. But also to their spring and winter showcases. It's community bands, jazz and classics. Todd, New Orpheus, we're going to have tickets to Rory's.
Yeah, Rory Stitt's opera, yeah.
It's new opera. And it goes on and on. And the important thing is, you said it with the cruise, it kind of exemplifies SAIL anyway, Boston. SAIL is Southeast. It's not just Juno. And I think that's very important, and people need to realize they are spread out all over every community just about in
that's
Southeast.
That's awesome. That's really great. And go ahead, Sarah.
Well, I will say we do have some of those big ticket items that we're very excited about. And we are so appreciative of sales donors at all price points. And so there will also be a lot of really fun auction items that, you know, are not thousands of dollars. So if you're the kind of person that's maybe looking for a little holiday present or a gift for a friend of yours, there's going to be a lot of really fun things that that you'll be able to scoop up as well.
Absolutely. And Sarah, as we wrap up, tell us where we can find more information about SAIL and also get tickets.
Absolutely. You can get tickets at sailinc.org. That's our website. It's sailinc.org. You can also give us a call. Our phone number is 800-478-7245. But that website, sailinc.org, really has all the information you need. And if you have any questions, I'm here to answer them for you.
That's awesome. Well, Sharon and Sarah, thank you so much for coming in. Is there anything else that we need to mention, Sarah?
We're good? Just excited to see you next Saturday.
It's so great that the SAIL auction and gala fundraiser is back. You can go to sailinc.org for more information on SAIL and the gala and auction event. It's next Saturday, October 21st at 6 p.m. at Centennial Hall. Sharon and Sarah, Gunnath Cheesh for being here today.
Thanks, Boston.
Thanks so much. Up next, a preview of the next episode of the Maga Cuento podcast from KTOO News. This week's episode is from reporter Katie Anastas, and you'll hear it here after the break on Juno Afternoon from KTOO.
Support for Juno Afternoon comes from Heritage Coffee Roasting Company, providing Juno with locally roasted coffee for over 40 years, with cafes and drive-through locations throughout Juno. More at heritagecoffee.com.
It's a quiet, rainy morning at the Alaska Marine Highway Ferry Terminal in Juneau. The water laps against the gangplank, and seagulls rest on pilings. The ferry left hours ago on its way to deliver passengers, cars, and freight to communities throughout Southeast Alaska, like it has for decades. And throughout those years, many of the people staffing the ferries, from deckhands up to captains, have been Filipino. This is Mga Kwento, a podcast about the diverse stories of Juneau's Filipino community. I'm your host, Tasha Elizarde, and in this episode, we'll look more deeply into one of the biggest reasons Filipinos migrate to Alaska: work. As KTOO's Katie Anastas reports, a variety of forces have made labor one of the top reasons why Filipinos come to Alaska. And it's a desire to provide for their loved ones that have driven Filipino migrants to make a lasting impact on so many of Juneau's industries today.
When Rex Roldan arrived in Juneau, it felt like home right away.
We got maybe 200 relatives here when I first came here. I came here just to visit, but I kind of like it here, so I stayed. And we see each other as if I'm in our province in the Philippines, because every time we see each other, we party, eating, anything, you know, cooking.
Rex moved from Calibo, the capital of the Aklan province in the Philippines. In 1993, he got a job in Alaska's ferry system as a storekeeper, the person who keeps an inventory of all the supplies on the ship. Eventually, he became second steward and then chief steward until he retired in 2014. Throughout his time in the ferry system, he was surrounded by people who also felt like family.
You know the feeling when you're with your home, what do you call that? Home buddies, you know? But of course, we got friends also from white people, or what do you call that? And they're nice. I never experienced they're like trying to put you down or something. Even the captains, even the officers.
That wasn't the case when Filipino workers first came to Alaska.
Filipinos worked from the early 1900s up through World War II in the Alaskan canneries.
Michael McCann is a political science and labor studies professor at the University of Washington. He says the full story of how Filipino workers came to Southeast Alaska starts right after the Spanish-American War, when the U.S. purchased the Philippines from Spain. Filipinos fought for independence for the next 3 years, but eventually the U.S. implemented a new government, and Filipinos who'd farmed their own plots of land in the Philippines were kicked off as American corporations took over.
So what happened? You have a large number of Filipino workers who are subjected with new kind of proletarian status, badly paid, hard work, very little control over their lives. And a lot of them became available to be conscripted to become workers in the American West. I say conscripted because it's not like they made a free choice to come to America because it was a better place. Although there's a little bit in that. Many of the Filipinos wrote about the hopes that they could find a better situation in the United States, better wages, more stability, maybe own land of their own, which had been denied them in the Philippines. But in many ways, they were forced by circumstances.
Many of them went to California, Oregon, and Washington for agricultural jobs. They spent summers in Alaska canneries, where they faced harsh conditions on and off the job.
People often worked 12, 14, 18 hours a day. It was very dangerous. People became cut up very badly, lost fingers, lost limbs, and it was very unhealthy. The Filipino workers had their own very substandard housing that was away from the main part of the camp usually. They ate substandard food, and they were constantly under the threat of deportation. One of the primary modes of discipline was to threaten to deport anyone, any workers who were not cooperative and deferential and who tried to organize or challenge conditions.
Despite those conditions, Filipino workers continued to work in the canneries in the decades that followed. Oscar Peñaranda spent 15 summers in Alaska, starting in the 1960s. He told KTOO last year that the camaraderie kept him coming back.
We didn't feel like we had to get in touch between seasons because we were going to go the next season and catch up. That's part of the reason why we kept going.
Meanwhile, oil prices were rising in the Middle East. President Ferdinand Marcos saw an opportunity to export Filipino workers to generate income and address rising unemployment in the Philippines. The U.S. benefited too. The Marcos regime rolled out education programs that catered to in-demand industries, while the U.S. ended restrictions on immigration from the Philippines. The new immigration policy prioritized immigrants with certain skills and family living in the U.S., people like Rebecca Carrillo.
My name is Rebecca Carrillo. I am the Philippine Honorary Consul for Alaska. I've lived in Juneau for 42 years.
Rebecca originally studied to become a nurse in the Philippines. Filipino nurses had long been sought out by the U.S., which had set up nursing programs in the Philippines soon after colonization. When World War II left the U.S. with a shortage of healthcare workers, the U.S. looked to the Philippines to recruit new ones. Like the workers conscripted for American jobs at the turn of the century, Filipinos who came to Alaska didn't always have much of a choice. The Filipino government contracted with overseas employers directly to supply workers, and propaganda encouraged Filipinos to strive to go to the U.S. Rebecca saw that system in action.
When we were taking our final exams, getting ready to take our board exams, in the hallway of our school, I saw foreigners from different countries lining up the desks and booths and recruiting us for jobs in Saudi Arabia, in New York, in Chicago, in Texas. It wasn't my intent to go abroad at that time. I was on a roll.
Her plan was to teach at her alma mater, but her plans changed after she got married. Like Rex, Rebecca's husband already had family members in Juneau, so they moved there from Manila. Rebecca continued to provide for her family in the Philippines through remittances, a system that started in 1974 to keep workers' income in the Philippines, even if they were working abroad.
Remittances are money or funds that people send from one country to recipients in another country.
In May 2023, overseas workers sent nearly $2.5 billion in remittances to the Philippines. Many of them are teachers, but others work in service industries or in factories. Rebecca says that money makes a huge difference for every family that receives it.
The children get better educated. Now that the head of household is here working, the remaining head of household becomes more resourceful. They go into this macro business kinds of ventures because they have a little bit of capital. So it supports the family, it supports this little village, and the community is having a little macroeconomic driven industry.
But Rebecca says there's been a shift in how younger generations view supporting family members back in the Philippines, a change she's seen in her own children.
They don't have that burden of, oh, I have to work two or three jobs now because I have to send money back home to the Philippines. So not that those value systems were not introduced to them when they were young, but in a way, they are fortunate that they can pursue their lives, especially financially, just focusing on what they want to do without skimping on those things because they have to set aside a certain amount of money for people in the Philippines like we did.
You're listening to Juno Afternoon from Studio 2K at KTOO. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. That was a preview of episode 2, which dropped today, of the Maga Cuento podcast, a new podcast from the KTOO news team, led by executive producer for the project, Tasha Elizarde. Maga Cuento means the stories in Tagalog. You can hear the full episode now, as well as past episodes, in any of your podcast apps or online at ktoo.org/Filipinos in Alaska. There's also an ongoing exhibit you can visit at the Juneau Douglas City Museum. For more on that, visit juneau.org/museum. Up next, Glo Ramirez, local artist and KTOO thank you gift designer for this year's memberships gifts. This is KTOO, and this is Juneau Afternoon.
KTOO and NPR are able to bring you important coverage thanks to the generosity of listeners who give to KTOO as members. Your membership support benefits you and the thousands of KTOO listeners like you who need us more than ever. During this fall membership campaign, make sure your membership is up to date at ktoo.org.
That is Sarah Geronimo, Filipino megastar, and our ongoing playing of Filipino music in honor of Filipino American History Month, as well as Maga Cuento, the project that is month-long here and going into November as well at the museum from KTOO. You're listening to community-supported Juneau Afternoon on KTOO at 104.3 Juneau, 91.7 Juneau Auk Bay, and online at ktoo.org. I'm your host, Boston Christopher. Little monsters have invaded KTOO, and that is all due to our next guest, Glo Ramirez. Glo has provided KTOO with the thank you gift artwork for this year's membership campaigns. And it's a pleasure to welcome Glo to Studio 2K, dedicated to Carolyn Hobbs Peterson. Glo, Gunathchish, how are you? Welcome to the studio.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Of course. I don't even know where to begin. There's so much cool stuff that you have designed in the past for the community and also for KTOO for this year's membership gifts. But tell us first a little bit about you and your work.
Well, I like to say that I am a Puerto Rican creative that has been blessed to be a guest in this land for the past 7 years. I mostly do illustrations, and I'm in here. I'm kind of known for the little monsters.
Yeah.
That actually they kind of like, even if I've done versions of it, I think like these ones are like Alaskan natives. You're like they were born in here, is what I mean.
Ah, I see.
And they are like my companions because I was here alone when I got to Juneau. So they have been my companions all this time. It's like my way of taking my fears that I had at that moment and just putting them into cute little cartoons. And that will make me be like, okay, probably fears or situations won't disappear, but if they're like cute and cuddly enough, then I am able to like overcome them and just have them as companions. Oh,
that's such a warm thing to say. Makes it just my heart swell a little bit there. And I know if people want to look on the KTOO social media on Instagram, I know that we've been putting up these pictures of, you took some pictures of like the CD library that the volunteers used to create music, and you put like, you overlaid one of the little monsters in there. There's one like hanging out on the roof. And it's just, so you put them around the different areas. And, but then when you were approached to do the artwork for the membership thank you gifts, because we're in the middle of our fall membership campaign and these will be the member gifts for the next year, How did you decide which of these little monsters to use? And did you get inspiration from seeing the photos around here at KTOO? Or what went through your thought process there?
I think like the first time that I was approached, I was like, can the monsters take over the station? And I was told like, you can do whatever you want.
Yes.
And I'm like, okay, so yes. In my head is like the work that I do is like a constant questioning and find of like playfulness and joy, you know, within what's going on in life. That's what I try to seek on every part of the work that I do. So it was like a way of things that we see every day or that you guys see every day and adding like another, like, what it will look if something was different. And then in that case will be like that monster, like choosing music or being on the top of the building. It's like seeing the same things, but with an extra layer of fun.
Yeah. Oh, it's so cool. Cause they are fun and they are cute. And I love the background of it in terms of talking about how, you know, that these meant something to you. And so what's great about that is that now that means something to us. And as you shared this with us, that is just a really warm thing that you've done to be able to share those little monsters with us. And everybody can feel a little bit of safety, a little bit of warmth in seeing these little creatures and all of the ways that they have manifested in these thank you gifts. And I know I was showing some of these things to you before we came on the air. And it's really great. And I just want to go over what these are. So there's like this cool, and you can go to ktoo.org/donate and you'll see all the different levels of giving that you can do and the different things that you might get. And then there's the large combo pack for a larger monthly donation where you can get everything. But basically, for just a $5 donation, you'll get the KTO sticker pack, which is these adorable. It's the KTO logo with the little monsters taking over the logo,
yes.
Which is adorable. And then there's this like walking creature, little monster with like a little backpack on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cute. And it has a little cell phone in there. And I think there's even the little KTO logo on his backpack.
Yeah. It has the same logo that.
Yeah. That's so cool. And it's got headphones on, like it's jamming out to KXLL or KRNN. Yeah. So that's really kind of cool. And then there's this one with the headphones on. Tell me a little bit about this one. It's like a head. It's the head of the little monster.
Yes. It's just like, I was like so excited that I wanted to like make different ones that will just kind of represent like someone maybe just too into the music,
yeah.
Or someone just like, you know, just walking around town and listening to the programming that you guys have. So it was trying to like get everything that I could, like,
yeah,
all the feelings.
It's so cool. And the little monster has its eyes closed,
yeah.
And it's just kind of jamming to the tunes, which I think is great. And then for those who are mug collectors, there's a really nice mug with the logo with the little monsters taking over the logo, which is cool. And then also there is a hoodie instead of just a shirt. We went full on hoodie this year, and this color is great. It's like a dark charcoal kind of thing, and then it has the KTO logo on it with the little monsters sort of taking it over, and it says Public Media Juno, Alaska. I mean, that looks pretty cool, right?
I know. It's the first time I've seen it.
Yeah, you haven't seen the hoodie in person before. It's so cool.
Excited.
I mean, you know, it's so awesome. I mean, I'm sure we're going to give you some of these so you can have them for your collection as well. So that's pretty awesome. So what's next for GLOW? What's coming up?
I'm just kind of like working around. I share a studio with other three artists. The place, it's called Heads in the Clouds Collective. So it's time to like just create and
gotcha.
You know, just trying to find out what is the next thing. I also do markets and other things.
You'll be at public market, I would think, maybe.
Yes. And
okay.
Then this next on the 21st. Yeah, on the 21st, there is like the pumpkin spice market.
Oh, the pumpkin spice market at the Jack. Okay, yes. So that's next weekend. And then you'll be at Public Market for sure Thanksgiving weekend. That's awesome. And so where do we follow you, Glow? I know that it's pretty easy because everything is the same.
It's the same. It's Glow, G-L-O, Inc., I-N-K, .com when it comes to the website, and then same for social media handles.
Yeah, Glow Inc. PR. Yeah, yes. And it's in there.
I did forget that.
Yeah, of course. No, Glow Inc. PR, and that's on the website and on the socials, and you can see Glow's artwork and all that good stuff. And for more on her thank you gifts, consider membership to KTO by visiting kto.org/donate. Gunnath Cheese for being here, Glow, and sharing a little bit of your little monsters and the background on them and what they mean to you and how they're going to mean that for
gracias.
Yeah, gracias. Thank you so much for being here. That will do it for today's Juno Afternoon. Have a wonderful Juno weekend. A reminder that we are in the last stretch of our fall membership campaign. Your membership support provides the critical funds that allows KTOO to bring programs like Juno Afternoon to you. If you've never been a member, now is a great time to make your donation. If you are a member, thank you. Be sure to make sure your membership is up to date or consider making an additional gift. Visit ktoo.org and select the donate button. Or you can stop by KTOO Monday through Friday, 9 to 5 at 360 Egan Drive to make your donation that way. Juno Afternoon airs Tuesday through Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KTOO Juno 104.3 and KAUK Juno Auk Bay 91.7. Hello, out the road. Find the show online at ktoo.org/JunoAfternoon, where you can listen to episodes, subscribe to the podcast, provide feedback, offer ideas, or find out how to be a guest on the show. Our theme music is by Indian Agent. I'm Boston Christopher, producer and host of the program, with help today from Aaron Tripp. Gunnath Cheesh for joining us today. Gracias.